Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about near-death experiences, or they're calling them NDEs, which I think is just a really fascinating thing to be talking about. I got a couple different things this week that I was looking at it, and boy, it just is such a fascinating thing, and I am so happy Marvine Lindbergh is going to be joining us tonight, and she's one of our regular guest chefs in the house. Hey, hey Marvine, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm so glad you could make it. So I just want to give a little bit of some statistics that I was looking at that I thought was really interesting. With, NDEs, the near-death experiences, they estimate that over 200,000 Americans experience them every year. And that it's something that's significant for really everybody that's experiencing it, of course, because when you have it, your loved ones are experiencing it through you, which I think is really a fascinating thing. And back in 2005, they did some interviewing of American doctors, and 59% believed in some form of the afterlife, seeing all their patients going through some of these miraculous things that were happening to them on the surgery tables. And that 70% of the patients said that they would label those experiences as spiritual. And then Dr. Bruce Grayson, which is, he works at the University of Virginia, had wrote a paper called The Mystical Impact of Near-Death Experiences. And it was really looking at a cross-cultural study from the United States and also in India, which I thought was a very interesting way of looking, is it really something on a religious beliefs, some of the beliefs and things that we have for different things. And he basically felt that the cultural study was impacted by people's belief systems, and they were influenced a little bit about the interpretations of what they experienced from being able to go to the other side. But he said, all in all, that they were very, very similar. It was just the way that they described the experiences. And he said, at the very least, near-death experiences show that there is a spiritual growth that's leading into that person when we question our basic assumptions about the mind and body, about a relationship to the divine, and also the universe and our role in it. So I would just love for, Marvine, however you want to start walking into this whole experience. So when did you have your near-death experience?
I was 24, I think.
Okay.
24 or 25. And some doctors dropped some things inside my stomach, and I also got a massive hospital staph infection. I've had a total of somewhere between 14 surgeries. I had six in an 11-month time period. And the experience I had, my grandpa, the people were working on me, and then I was in this room with my grandpa and people I call the elders. I don't know who they were. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation, and I was given a choice to come back and do what I could to serve, or I could have stayed. And I chose to come back. I don't remember any of the conversations. I do know that when I woke up from, the sixth or seventh surgery after I got a doctor that would take care of me, and my surgeon was sitting next to my hospital bed after I had gone through recovery and everything, looking at me, and he said to me, "You have something on your side I will never understand."
Interesting.
And, I mean, that's truly what happened. There's no anything there. And my life has, I mean, I've always had a belief in a higher power. I call it God. I call it primary source energy, because whether people are aware of it or not, for example, at the point of death, there is normally between 6 and 12 gram weight loss that science isn't sure what it is. And so I started seriously studying about religions and energy and things like that, because when it comes right down to it, our body runs on electric energy. One of the mm-hmm. first things that they do is grab the electronic paddles when somebody goes into, for example, cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start taking a look at the core of your being, and I look at things differently, but the core of your being is not the physical vehicle. Just it's more than just a physical vehicle that we walk around in.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that sometimes people, you mentioned people in our families and our immediate environment. Yes, it definitely affects a lot of people, probably a lot more than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
But
when you had that experience, did you feel like you could share it right away, or were you kind of timid about, I don't know if I can share this with people?
Oh, I thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be very common. It takes quite a while for people to feel like they can share it, because it's interesting because, once I got into looking at this last week or so, which I thought was kind of, I'll tell you how that all happened once we finish your story, but people were talking about how it took them a while because it was so special to some people, or, that they didn't want to share it. And then other people were the same, like what you were saying, is I don't want people thinking that I'm crazy. So there was a lot, very similar messages there.
I don't think that I necessarily thought that as much as I thought, I told my mom, Grandpa came to see me and he took me
mm-hmm.
to his room.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go any further. And I told him about all the people that were there in the room, and they were dressed in white, or the room was white. I don't remember all those details. But I think
mm-hmm.
the most important thing is that I don't know about anybody else, but it's hard to attempt to try to explain something like that. Because the
mm-hmm.
bottom line had to do with I was so very ill that I was more focused on being able to function again, because I was very, very ill. And the thing is what, I mean, I've always believed in a higher power, but I got more and more curious. And so I went ahead and I got my PhD in religious philosophy. But again, for me, the schooling was not enough. And I've continued to search, research, deal with people from different walks of life. And then I started playing a little bit with quantum physics. And because we are energy, what happens is if you go to the core of however these things happen, you have two invisible things that were visible long before they became invisible,
mm-hmm.
that come together, and this thing called a baby is formed. And when you start looking at things like energy and the way that all of that happens, because our bodies run on energy, we can begin to look at things a little bit differently. What I find interesting with regards to this particular subject, well, my husband brought it up the other day. At one point in time, this was an ice age. And nothing is destroyed. It merely changes form.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really tough one to get. But even if you go to some of the biblical scriptures or some of the others, from dust thou art to dust thou return. And if you look at what happens to dust, because we're all very familiar with dust, it builds things in its own ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mountains, all kinds of other things. So when we can step back and look at it from a little bit different perspective, we're here to learn. I'm going to use my own words. I don't want to mince words. We're co-creators with what I call God. I'm not talking about some kind of a religious thing. I'm not talking about anything like that. We are part of a higher power. I've worked with scientists and engineers and some other folks. And the interesting part with this, and the reason it is so perplexing, is because it's another one of those things they don't understand. But it's because it defies the logic that they have been trained with. We're all programmed. Mm-hmm. Did that answer?
Well, Marvin, when you had that near-death experience and saw your grandfather, before that, had you felt like you wanted to explore more, like you're saying, looking into the reasons behind some of the different aspects of spirituality from a scientific perspective or things like that? Were you really wanting to talk, because I know you've got a degree in theology and things like spiritual theology and all that. Was that something that you were already interested in, or was it this experience just opened that up for you?
From the time I was little, from what I understand, I was able to quote scripture before I was ever taken to a church. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what degree, but it unsettled my parents quite a bit, because there was no way I should know things like that.
Uh-huh.
I believe everybody has the same qualities. Most of the time we learn to forget them because of the way, and I'm not being negative, but we are trained on this planet to abide by certain rules depending on the environment, the type of temperaments and so on our family has, the rules of the different communities all over the world. And what happens is so many things are confused. And I know that some of these people that come back, first of all, they are different. But I think more importantly, the gratitude for life, the perspective of life, changes somehow. At least it certainly did for me.
So when you had that choice to stay or to come back, did you have just a different sense of purpose even before you came back over from the veil, or is it something that kind of grew once you came back?
I think no, I didn't have a sense of purpose.
Uh-huh.
It has just happened. I've had so many interesting things, well, I call them small miracles, but in my life, that there is a higher power, and it's whether or not we let it in and whether or not we misuse it, because there's a lot of misuse going on out there right now. I'm not making everybody bad. I'm not making anybody bad. But so many people are trying to deal with so many different types of training and whatnot. And the confusion that the earth is in right now is a direct result of it. And so you have some of these.
Do you think that's why there's more of an increase of people? Do you think that's why there's more of an increase about people having more near-death experiences than they used to? Because there's definitely a rise in people having these experiences. Or is it, is it a matter that people are coming forward and knowing that they can talk about it?
Probably a bit of both, but
okay.
Sometimes human nature, we have to be hit on the head with something before we finally get that maybe there is some truth to whatever this particular thing is, or there isn't any truth to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, the big picture with that, religion was created by man. And they use it, for the most part, to their own interpretations or perceptions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give you an example of you know, well, any number of things that you can. I'm going to go down to the two basics, which is love one another as I have loved you,
mm-hmm.
and worship the Lord God. Well, it's not about worshiping some kind of an entity. It's about respecting what we have. It's about acknowledging that there's more to us than we realize or that we've really been given credit for. And
mm-hmm.
what that means to me, and the way I interpret that, is we all have amazing creative abilities. And we need to learn to use them in order to co-create in positive ways with each other. We will,
mm-hmm.
I have absolutely no doubt, be colonizing on other planets. They are now, and some of this stuff I find kind of interesting because they're of cloning and a lot of the other things. But when you take a look at the difference in science and progress and things, even in the last 20 years, change happens. And now the biggest thing has to do with how humans treat each other and how
mm-hmm.
they're willing to work together for a more common good. And then when you go back to death, which is where we started, the energy when someone transitions that way is different. I don't know how to
mm-hmm.
explain it, but again, we have to learn to look at things differently. I'm sitting in my living room with a coffee table, and it's coffee table, but I look at it, it's made of wood. Somewhere along the line, that wood was a tree, and somebody looked at the tree and thought, wow, this could be a this. And then all the energy that was taken by the different people that it took to get it together, to get it to where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's big if we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part with death is because, well, I think if anybody, any of us were honest, I wouldn't want to be in this body all forever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea of change and adjusting a few things that I'm not particularly, and I think everybody's that way. But we're here for a period of time, and what we're here for, we're children of a higher source becoming adults of that source.
Mm-hmm. When you saw your grandfather, when you saw your grandfather, was he younger or was he the way that you remember seeing him?
He was the way I remembered seeing him.
Okay.
I didn't notice an age with any of them. It was mm-hmm. more, I don't know how to explain it. There was some kind of a feeling of safety, protection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other way to explain it because the whole thing sounds bizarre anyway. Even when I think
mm-hmm.
about it,
well, that's what we're talking about because it's kind of bizarre, so that's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had my medical records are really old, and I am very healthy today. But my current doctor didn't know about the surgeries I had. And there's a story behind it. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so he sent me to x-ray to get my stomach
mm-hmm.
x-rayed. And the x-ray technician came out, and she looked at me, and she said, have you ever seen this? And I said, no. She said, it looks like a zipper. And so she
mm-hmm.
took me over and let me see a picture of my stomach.
You have a zipper in your stomach?
There's stainless steel sutures.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and but I think what's interesting about some of these things is I don't dwell on that kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I the things that I'm grateful. I mean, I'm not saying I don't ever get depressed or down or go through all kinds of stuff, especially with the way people treat each other. But the most important thing is to appreciate the friendships, my family. I'm going to be a great grandmother soon.
I'm praying.
And truly appreciate what is and how it got here is through the energy, the combined energy of all kinds mm-hmm. of people. And mm-hmm. when we start look at things a little bit different, you know, with people, we take people for granted.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that, you know, when people have this experience, Dave, that's one thing that, you know, with part of our message tonight was, you know, heaven's message of joy, celebration, and purpose is like being able to celebrate every day, being able to see the joy in everything and, you know, not taking ourselves so seriously sometimes when it comes to just like, you know, why am I really here is to, you know, to smile and to be connecting to people and to let people know that they make a difference because we all do.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that, but there's also being willing to step back and maybe adjust. Like I said, people walk into a store and they're looking either for some kind of a something or the or whatever and not taking a look at the ideas and the creativity and the design that brought all of those things together in that one location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have numerous ways that we can make a difference, and it doesn't have to be any big deal thing. Some of the, this is one of my things, okay? And I don't care if anybody agrees with me. I go to a restaurant. I'll stop my post office person or a FedEx guy or somebody in the grocery store. And I let them sincerely know how much I appreciate what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They serve us, but we take them so much for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have expectations, and I appreciate the people and what they're doing. And that doesn't make me special. It doesn't make me anything. But I just look at things differently. And mm-hmm. my life seems to be working pretty well. And, yeah, I've been through challenges just like a lot of other people have. But if we can learn even to slow down for a minute and look at a plant, a dog or a puppy or something that you find beautiful, then what you're doing is you're opening a space inside and you can feel it. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about something. We, the people, can feel it if we just let ourselves slow down. We have so much information running through our heads right now that we're not
running
functioning
through our bodies.
Very well.
Running through our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things
but
they said about people that have a near-death experience is that their intuition really goes up after they come back, that there's an increase with their extrasensory perception. Was that true for you?
Big time. I mean,
okay.
I'd always been sensitive and aware, but, what happened, it was all part of this process I went through with all the surgeries is I thought I needed a psychiatrist. So the doctor that I was seeing was one of the ones that helped save my life, sent me to a psychiatrist. And the way that it wound up, long story short, the psychiatrist months later after some issues wound up asking the doctor if I would meet the two of them for lunch because he wanted me to work with his patients.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want to tell his patients. And I said no.
Yeah.
But the
for
thing
people
is,
who,
is,
I didn't introduce Marvin is she's a spiritual counselor. So depending on what people need and things like that, she can help people with their different aspects of things that they want to learn about for themselves. So I was going to ask you about that. Have you ever, without really, talking about any particular person, have you had people who have had near-death experiences and then come to you for guidance about that?
No. I mean, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, okay. So they probably didn't think they could talk about it.
I mean, I've worked with professionals from different walks of life.
Uh-huh.
I've dealt with some very sick, but not because of that.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd love to go through that. They have a list of different things, and I would love to have you say yay or nay, depending on your experience of different things, because there definitely seems to be a real grouping of different things that people experience. And depending
right.
on what you had going on, it, you know, part of them, one of the things that's pretty much just ironclad for just about everyone, there's a feeling of leaving your body and having that witness perspective where you can just kind of see yourself and your body's, you know, you're above your body or you're aware that you're not in your body anymore.
Is that a question?
Did you have that?
I do remember seeing my, this sounds really strange. I saw myself laying on the bed where they were working on me, and then I was in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very common when you're moving from, you know, from your consciousness and going to the. I'm calling it beyond your veil. You're going into another realm with your understanding of different stuff. So,
you know,
so you did have that witness perspective.
Oh, yeah. And well, I don't know what you'd call it. I rarely have ever talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, what I find interesting is that when we're done, and one of the hardest parts well, there's so many. When you're dealing with death in any way, shape, or form, whether it's an infant or a pet or a parent or a whatever, there's a trauma that most people go into because, first of all, you don't know what to do and you don't know how to do it. And even if you think you do know how to do it, there's always surprises. And the most important thing is the shock. It's the adjustment of that individual not being there.
For the person who's passed away, once they kind of release and surrender to the process of going to beyond the veil, you know, most people say it's a very peaceful and wonderful experience.
Oh, it is. It is. And
you know, there's life
I'm
after death.
That from my experience
strange,
that I have. I have worked with people that were in their final stages of different disease, and there is a peace, and they do come to terms with it. And what's interesting, today more than ever, well, I had a good friend of mine lost their husband a few weeks ago, and I guess it's been about 6 weeks now. And he was fairly young, and but her comment, because he'd had a massive heart attack a year or so ago, and there was nothing they could do, no replacement or anything available. So when he passed and when she called me, she said it was a blessing because he had been in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the toll that it takes on the individual and the family members and the people around them is... it's an opportunity to begin to appreciate some of the little things. It's too easy for humans to focus on all the negative stuff. And there's so much going on out there that we don't have or take the time to just take a few minutes and a few deep breaths and just appreciate what we have and where we are. And even some of the negative things that have happened to us in many cases, depending on how the individual took it, what happens is it's a way to help others and a way to look at things a little bit differently. I can guarantee that some of the folks that in different types of situations, and yet the growth and the things that came behind it were pretty tremendous. But it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to get over it when somebody passes. It takes time to deal with, and for each individual it's different. So the most important thing is I know there's a lot of counselors out there that pretty much kind of tell people, well, they don't tell them to get over it, but, and you don't. It's just not something that goes away. It recedes to the back.
We just learned how to deal with it differently.
Thing, yeah, and it has to do with understanding, truly understanding. And it's one of the toughest things I've ever had to learn, is to understand when that happens. There's something there we still give to others.
Your near-death experience help you be able to deal with that, all that now, just having that different perspective of knowing, you know, what it's going to be like for the people to come when they're going to the other side?
That's a part of it, but that was not anything that motivated me. I've been more interested, observing what you're supposed to do and then watching what people are doing and all the contradictions. And a lot of the contradictions that we humans see and we humans do, and some of them are as simple as throwing trash out of the car or speeding or whatever, but what we're doing is we're defying the laws of the land, and in many respects, we're jeopardizing or we affect other people regardless of whether they're aware of it or not. The way we
every
park
choice.
Our cars,
yeah.
Everything we do affects somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Even the food we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad that it's gotten so much into people not being able to even take the time to appreciate each other because they've got so much on their plates. Even if it's 5 minutes of, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we're at our 30 minutes, so you know time just flies
like
normal. No, that's fine. Time flies with the different stuff. So, any kind of last words with your experience and just kind of helping people know about what's the heavenly message for people.
For me, the drama, trauma, whatever that I went through, and then that was minor to what I've experienced with the rest of my life. And a lot of it, you call it attitude or whatever, but we can either be victims or we can be co-creators. And I choose to be a co-creator with my family, with my friends, with people I work for. And I'm sure there's any, and that's why we're here. We're here to make a difference. My business cards, I don't have a label on my business cards. I've got human beings, bits of wisdom, and then underneath my phone number, I've got you make a difference. Because
Indeed. You
do. Every one of you make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of choose and be the difference that you would like to be.
Perfect.
You all have it. It's amazing.
Amazing. So thank you, Marlene, for your being able to be open about that and sharing that experience with you. Like I said, back when you were, 24 years old, and it's still something that just sits with your experience and makes you such a blessing to have you here in the world with all of us. We just thank you for that. I want to remind everybody with the transformation-cafe.com, Bruce Grayson, MD with the University of Virginia. We're going to go ahead and list a link to his article called The Mystical Impact of Near-Death Experiences. And there's quite a few books out nowadays. We've got Raymond Moody. Boy, that was back in the 1980s. But Life After Life was a well-known book that really got people kind of looking at that from a different perspective and having it be something that you can be able to look at. And we'll also have a link if you'd like to leave Marvina a message or any kind of questions for her. We'll make sure that she gets those as well. Again, with the transformation-cafe.com. Thank you, Marvina.
Thank you.
All right. We have a great
day, everyone.
You too. And thank you for joining us here at the cafe, and we'll see you next time. Have a great night.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.